Major support for Out to Lunch on WWNO provided by the law firm of Jones Walker, established in 1937 with more than 375 attorneys and offices throughout the U.S., providing a comprehensive range of services to a local, national, and international client base, JonesWalker.com. Additional support comes from Luba Workers' Comp and 30 North Investments.
From Commander's Palace Restaurant in the Garden District in New Orleans, we're out to lunch with Peter Ricchiuti. Peter Ricchiuti is Tulane University's A.B. Freeman School of Business professor and economist. It's business, New Orleans style.
Hi, I'm Peter Ricchiuti. Welcome to Out to Lunch. When we look in the mirror, most of us see some room for improvement. When we look at our careers, most of us see some room for improvement. Very few of us are able to improve our appearance and our career at the same time. My guests on Out to Lunch today are exceptions to that rule. Lindsay Lomba was a successful executive in the technology world in Seattle. Lindsay was director of a company called Techstars and a consultant to Microsoft. The lifestyle brought with it a lot of travel, long hours, and poor diet. All of that stress resulted in Lindsay suffering with skin issues. When she couldn't find any traditional medication that worked, Lindsay made her own. That's how Aria Apothecary was born. Lindsay Lomba now lives in New Orleans and makes products with names like Anti-Aging Lavender Face Serum and Refreshing Rosewater Facial Mist. Lindsay, welcome to Out to Lunch.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And Mark Berger is the kind of overachiever who makes regular overachievers look like couch potatoes. It would take me half the show to list everything he's involved in, but principally among them, Mark is the co-owner of the fitness studios Higher Power in Mid-City and Downtown. Higher Power specializes in a unique workout where East meets West. It's a combination of cycling, yoga, and TRX. TRX is a machine-based resistance training that was originally developed by the Navy SEALs. Mark is also national fitness and running ambassador for the athletic clothing line Lululemon and promotes running races, including the Gleason Classic here in New Orleans. Mark, welcome to Out to Lunch.
How's it going?
Good, good. Now, Mark, New Orleans is a city that has a reputation for partying, drinking, eating, and late-night music. The reputation is well-deserved, and we're proud of it. But we're seeing an enormous change in our attitude towards balancing the fun with better health. It used to be that maybe you knew somebody who went to the New Orleans Athletic Club or the JCC gym occasionally. Now we have what can only be described as a boom in workout styles and studios, from CrossFit to yoga. You're from New Orleans, you grew up here, you went to LSU, you were a founder of Varsity Sports, and now you're one of the creators of this boom. How have you taken a population who celebrated sloth for generations and successfully marketed this new lifestyle?
Well, I used to be part of that sloth.
Oh, wow, that's great.
I was probably 20, 30 pounds heavier at one point. I did marketing and public relations for Anheuser-Busch getting out of college, so my job was to take people out to eat, to throw parties, to drink a lot of beer. A couple things in my life happened, and I was like, I have to like go back to being an athlete again. And so I devoted my life to fitness, just did a total 180, and you know, it's just kind of evolved from just starting training people to opening businesses and stuff like that.
Now, the business side, you know, was that your background? I guess you're...
Yes, business and political science.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you were ready for that part.
I didn't learn anything at LSU about business. Business usually came more from experience.
Oh, okay, all right. I was going to give this all for the Tigers or something.
No.
And you've created a bunch of things like the 504K.
Yes, it is.
I take it that's our area code and not how long the race
is. It's 5.04 kilometers, so it's a tad bit longer than a 5K. Youth Run NOLA is one of my charities of choice. It helps public and charter school kids have an after-school running program. So me and the founder, Alex Lebo, who now lives in Portland, we decided to do a fundraiser and have a race just for their kids so they could get shirts and bibs just like everybody else.
Yeah.
A lot of races let them come in and do the races, but they never had something of their own. They kind of get herded off to their little corner. So we wanted something, and then we were like, where don't they have a race? And the Marinian Bywater didn't have a race, so we put it there, and it's very community-oriented. The kids get their community to come and do the race, so they get people that would have never done a foot race to walk or run the race.
I'm thinking of starting the 401k race, just for people that need retirement planning or something like that. Now, Lindsay, you've done what a lot of people in business dream of doing, walking away from a high-stress life to pursue something you really want to do. I would imagine that trading your life in Seattle at the epicenter of technology for your life today in New Orleans comes with both advantages and drawbacks. You were a startup specialist in Seattle, and now you're actually starting up a business here in New Orleans. In New Orleans, we're often told by our local civic and business boosters that we're a great city for entrepreneurs. I'm sure you don't want to offend anybody in your adopted hometown, but as an entrepreneurial startup specialist, you're in a unique position to tell us the objective truth. In relation to Seattle and other places you've worked, what is your experience in terms of Aria Apothecary and starting it here?
Yeah, so I think in terms of Aria Apothecary and starting it here, I think the entrepreneurial scene is actually better. And there's a few reasons why. And I can speak to other scenes, like my background in tech and of the similarities and differences. But what I really noticed here is New Orleans has such a great, emerging entrepreneur scene. And in Seattle, I really just think about that, entrepreneurs is just tech. You're not thinking about it in all these other areas where there's entrepreneurs and, healthcare and non-tech businesses. And I feel like the environment here really cultivates like a strong support system for that. And people are really rallying for you and actually care. You can break through the noise.
Less and competitive and more everybody on the same team?
Yeah,
sort of?
Yeah. And it's a little bit less focused on the tech. So I think the barrier to entry is lower, which I think is great because you can actually get out there. People will actually give you the time of day and talk to you while I'm going around to different salons and boutiques and trying to get my product out to them.
That's just where I was going to start with, is trying to get this product out and get everyone to know. I mean, I was just thinking up things, getting ready for the show, like bridal parties and bat misfits.
I've had a lot of people who have been getting married these past few years, and they're like, I'd really love, they've tried the products. I'd really love to give this as a gift set for, my bridesmaids and my mother-in-law and my mom's. So I've done a lot of different kind of customized gift sets for people. Same thing. It's a Mother's Day present or, various gifts like that.
But what about what we'd think of as the more concrete part, the shelf space in stores and... How do you break that? How do you get in?
Yeah, so that's been a challenge lately just because when I started about a year ago now, January last in 2016, I was kind of going around and trying to meet with people. And one of the challenges was it was right before Mardi Gras. And so I'm going around, dropping up samples, talking to all these salons. And I'm like, okay, we'll come back after Mardi Gras. Right. So then you're kind of picking back up. And then it's Evo. And then it's like, okay, yeah, we love the product. We're waiting for some of this other stuff to move. So it's really a timing thing, too. And a lot of the salons saw, with Tulane. Tulane's not in session right now.
Right.
Okay, we don't have
and
enough volume.
And you're a one-woman shop, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like... You sign this to the marketing division. You are the marketing division.
Yeah, so it's a one-woman shop, and so it's me making the product, marketing it, going out there, talking to the salons, trying to get it out there. So it's a lot of, going out there physically and meeting with them, giving them the product, and then checking back in with them. And, trying to get some real estate in there, getting,
Do you have a game plan going forward? Is it like your end table next to your bed? Do you have ideas on
how to get this? I have a notebook full of like a million ideas of what I want to do with it. I think right now, really what I've learned actually from the tech startup scene with a lot of the lean startup methodologies that we were teaching back at Techstars and at Microsoft, to really just kind of get like an MVP product out there. So you'll see on my website right now, I only have a couple products.
Right. The names of them, by the way, the Anti-Aging Lavender Face Serum, which that's the core products. Do you eventually think you can spread them out?
I think the idea is to eventually spread it out, but actually not too much because I'm a big believer in doing kind of a couple things, but doing them really well versus trying to market to everything. Another lesson that I learned from the tech startup world. And so really I wanted to kind of get, I guess you'd call it my MVP, my minimal viable product out, and see if there was traction and legs. Because the idea originated, I didn't create it saying, hey, I think I want to start a skincare company. It was created because I wasn't finding a solution that worked for me. And then I'd be sitting at work or chatting with my friends who had skin problems, and I'd come back to New Orleans and whip something up for them and give it to them. I think my big question was, and what I wanted to test for when I started, was, will people buy this online? Right. Do people care? Do they want it? And so that's really what I've spent the last year trying to figure that out and being
a
little bit more.
Is the answer yes?
And the answer is yes.
Okay, that's
yes.
the most important. Now, Mark, I got to ask you, you've got two places now, and you've got some, frankly, kind of very expensive equipment. Was that a hurdle for you?
So my business partner is more the techie guy. I'm more of like the kind of logistics at the studio and training our instructors and keeping people coming and stuff like that. Overhead was a lot more because we add a sense of technology where our bikes are hooked up to screens.
Yeah.
When you're done, you get
it's like a music video you're in or something,
well,
right?
Well, we can put up music videos on the screens. We can also put up your statistics on there. And then when you're done, all your statistics get sent to an email and then get saved in your account. So you know if you're getting better. So it's mixing the tech world with the athletic world. And just giving you something a little bit more than just go and push and up and down. So you kind of know what you're doing.
I was thinking about this, Mark. You know, I go to the Riley Center at Tulane and work out and such. But if you, with you, does a new client come in and tell you what they're trying to get out of this?
So sometimes, you know, in group fitness, you know, some people just join and we offer them the choice to like come to us and say, hey, you know, some people are like, hey, I just want yoga and I just want to come in and do it. Some people don't want to share what they're doing, and some people, you know, want a little extra help. And then we'll have two or three programs during the year where we'll kind of like reinvent it and say, hey, we're going to do these few things. Come and talk to us. We'll do a little evaluation. Tell us where you want to be and how can we help you. So
what's the one, I don't know if you have that, what's that crazy thing where you take giant ropes and you swing them back and forth?
Yeah.
What's that called?
Well, there's CrossFit, which is...
Is that where that comes
from? But, you know, I use that, too, in some personal training, too.
Okay.
I don't know. It's
this looks like people could get hurt. That's all they... You know, Mark, you ought to have because...
You can get hurt doing anything.
And that's another thing you got to take care of
them, right? Eating cauliflower
soup. Eating cauliflower soup, which looks delicious, by the way. When you've got a new person coming in like that, you know, it would be great if you had a poster of the old Mark and the new Mark.
So occasionally I post that. I did a speech yesterday for a tech company called Search Influence, and part of my slides was the old and the new, just to show that, you know, I wasn't born the way I look.
Right,
That it took a lot of hard
smaller.
Work.
You're much smaller. I remember the birth. You're much smaller than that. But it's so that is. And let me ask you what I really just asked Lindsay. How do you get the word out?
So social media is huge now. So that's it's a word of mouth, I think, though, for a local business like ours. Hers is probably where it's a little bit more nationwide. You can go online and sell your products. For me, it's really word of mouth. Being here, being from here is huge. And then, you know, just making relations through the community, whether it's philanthropy.
And then all these events you have are actually, they're good causes, but they actually have a marketing arm.
I mean, another thing I do is Happy's Running Club, where I have 100 to 200 runners every Wednesday. We meet at Happy's Irish Pub on Poydras. I don't make any money from it, but at the same time, it's just a marketing thing for me where, you know, I can promote my other businesses, I can promote the races, I can promote the philanthropies, and then people come in and do the same thing. I mean, every week somebody new is like, hey, can I promote my race? Or my philanthropy, or whatever I'm doing, or gym, or whatever. So it's kind of like using all these little like facets and then, you know, making it just like this one umbrella of stuff that just kind of falls under me.
You're listening to Out to Lunch. I'm Peter Ricchiuti. My guests are Mark Berger from Higher Power Fitness Studios and Lindsay Lamba from Aria Apothecary. Lindsay, what brought you to New Orleans?
That guy over there.
Oh, there was So, because even before you did this, you were commuting a lot back and forth.
So we moved down to New Orleans, and the first year I was commuting between, I was still consulting at Microsoft, so I was commuting back and forth between New Orleans and Seattle. So I was on a plane on an average of like four times a month, hence the skincare. And then while I'm commuting and I was working crazy hours and, you know, eating on the road, airport food and all
that. Started thinking a change would be good.
Yeah.
But, you know, I have problems too, but I don't have the means to create something to fix it. I read in your background that some of these came from kind of older medicines or serums that that Indians used. Like, you got that from your mom?
Yeah. So it's funny because growing up, my mom would have cocoa butter and coconut oil and almond oil and all these different natural skincare oils that she would use and have me use. And of course, I wanted to use all of the, you know, fake vanilla flavored stuff from Bath and Body Works, and I didn't want to use any of that
old
stuff.
School,
I thought
that
stuff wasn't as good. And then, you know, as I grew up and especially through my own journey of going to, you know, spending tons and tons of money on facials and skincare products that are quote unquote natural, and realize, you know, if it's natural, how can my face?
By the way, do you make these out of your house, like in the sink or?
Okay. Not at the sink.
Okay,
but
not at the, okay. Because I was coming over for dinner, and I just wanted to ask. But, wow.
Yeah. And so, yeah, that's kind of where it started from. I started just doing my research and kind of figuring out which essential oils have different properties and kind of tapping back into that after everything else kind of failed me and wasn't working. And
let me ask you both this. Do you guys have a sounding board you respect? Is it a family member or a business associate? I mean, because there's times you just want to throw your hands up, right? I mean,
I would say there's a guy named Lester Love. He is the pastor at the City of Love Church, which is an African-American church, kind of Holly Grove area.
Yep.
I come from a multi-religious background of Judaism and Catholicism, but still was never really religious. And I met him from him coming to the studio, and I started going to his church. And it's sometimes the message. He does a 10-minute segment every morning at 6 a.m. And whether I can listen to it live or I can listen to it after, like on Facebook or one of the or Instagram, he just gives a really good message and doesn't always have to be. I mean, I bring people that are Muslim to his church. I bring, you know, people that are LGBTQ. I actually did a yoga event there with like 400 people, which you would not think that happening at a non-denominational church. So he just brings this really positive message, and sometimes things aren't going good. You just like listen to it, and it's not this overly religious thing. It's just more real life.
What about yourself though, Lindsay?
Yeah, I mean, I'm fortunate to have a pretty large pool of entrepreneurs as close friends.
Now, where's the pool? Is it what are you associated with one of the incubators? Or?
So the pool is actually in Seattle. So, you know, most of my friends in Seattle have been huge, you know, advocates for me to start it because they were some of the first people who tried it. They were some of my first customers. And so I've been actually working a lot with them. And
consider them kind of like an advisory board?
Yeah, or just like, hey, what do you think about this logo? Or I'm going to name it this. Or, hey, give me some feedback, you know, helping me out. Some
do you
efforts.
Pay them?
No, I don't.
Just send them sunshine. That would be nice in Seattle. That would be
And same locally, a lot of my husband's coworkers, I'm all about testing and getting feedback, and that's kind of like I said, the first year was just all about testing, feedback, improvements. So
have you tried focus groups?
Not specifically, mm-hmm. but in a way, you know, I'll give out, you know, batches of my product to people and say, hey, let me know what you think. What do you like? What do you not like? So I've had some great friends here and people throughout the community that have also just through the New Orleans network gone onto my website and said, hey, you know, I heard about this, I read on your website, great reviews, tried it out.
And nobody can sell something better than the person who created it. I mean, you've obviously got the passion for it. That's terrific. Now, Mark, now what about, how do you ease people in terms of they're coming in different, the shape they're coming in is all different. Do you kind of guide them through that?
Yeah, so almost everything that we do is pretty much all levels. If you're on a bike, the studio is dark, so you can sit in the very corner. The teacher can be saying, up, down, go faster, do this, do that. And you can sit there, and when you're not feeling good, sit down. Nobody's going to know what you're doing. Nobody's really looking. They're kind of like engaged because the teacher is like the focal point or the board or themselves. So that's huge. Or, for instance, in TRX, my mom could be next to the LSU player. And if the set is for 30 seconds, my mom might do 8 reps. The LSU player might do 15 reps. And, you know, you're not the LSU player is not waiting for her to get to a certain point or whatever. They're just changing at the same time.
And on top of that, Mark, don't you have you've developed kind of unique classes, and that they don't seem to repeat themselves all the time.
The music can be different. Obviously, we have like 50 teachers between all three disciplines. But we also do fusion classes where it's maybe cycling and yoga. Or we've learned to use TRX for yoga classes.
Mixing
it up.
I can't picture these together. That's pretty
cool. So, yeah, it's just mixing it up. People don't have like just the same old thing. That's why boutique fitness compared to like big box gyms, like some of these other gyms you mentioned, it's very specialized.
Now, feeling good and looking good is a self-generating loop. The better you feel, the better you look. The better you look, the better you feel about yourself. There are a lot of ways to go about making yourself feel and look better. Lindsay and Mark, you're both inspiring in terms of your dedication to better health and to the entrepreneurial spirit. It's been great to spend time with you today. We look forward to keeping up with both of you and wish you continued success.
Thank you.
And thanks you so much for joining me today on Out to Lunch. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
My guests on Out to Lunch today have been Lindsay Lomba, the owner of Aria Apothecary, and Mark Berger, co-owner of Higher Power Fitness Studios. You can find out more about Lindsay's skincare products and Mark's fitness programs by following the links on our websites, itsneworleans.com and wwno.org. Our show is recorded live over lunch at Commander's Palace in New Orleans. Commander's Palace serves lunch Monday through Friday, jazz brunch on Saturday and Sunday, with live music and dinner 7 nights a week. The producer of our show is Grant Morris. Our technical producer is Eric Merle. Our researcher is Mr. Matthew Ellefson. Mitch Foreman wrote and performs all the music on Out to Lunch. Mitch's music is available wherever great jazz is sold, streamed, or stolen, and at mitchellforeman.com. You can get the show as a podcast. You can listen to past shows. You can keep up with us on all kinds of social media by going to our websites, wwno.org and itsneworleans.com. If you want to know what we look like, and these people need to look good because it's like part of your job, you can find photos from this show on our website and Facebook page. These photos were taken today by Allison Moon. Out to Lunch is a production of INO Broadcasting for itsneworleans.com and WWNO 89.9 FM. I'm Peter Ricchiuti. Thanks for joining me. I look forward to meeting you again next week around the table here at Commander's Palace for more business, New Orleans style, on Out to Lunch.
Major support for Out to Lunch on WWNO provided by the law firm of Jones Walker, established in 1937 with more than 375 attorneys and offices throughout the U.S., providing a comprehensive range of services to a local, national, and international client base, joneswalker.com. Additional support comes from Luba Workers' Comp and 30 North Investments.